Here's a little message just to let you know. You're listening to Radio, Radio. This is the Cliff Howarth Radio Show. So I'm very pleased to welcome into the studio my very special guest this evening, Tom Moorcroft. Good evening, Tom.
How's it going?
That's going all right, mate. Not too bad, not too bad. Thank you so much for coming in at such short notice as well.
No, it's not. It doesn't feel like short notice to me.
It's wonderful. I'm made up to have you in. Do you know what? I thought I'm going to have a punt here. I knew that you've got your album coming out. I thought, I wonder would he come into the studio? So just by chance, I sent Tom a message. And he was good enough to come back to me and say, yeah, he's going to come in.
Here I am.
So here he is. The man is in question. He's live in the studio at Vintage Radio. I'm just going to be playing a few songs live for you. So first and foremost, for anybody who doesn't know too much about Tom, is your chance, Tom. Tell them all about yourself, fella.
Hey, my name's Tom. I was born in a place called Shrewsbury sometime in the early 90s. I moved to Liverpool in my late teens. And I've been here like nearly a decade. And I'm one of these singer-songwriter blokes you get, you know, who has an acoustic guitar and sometimes gets other musicians to play with him and makes albums and writes songs. And I've been doing that. The last year, I've been on and off in the studio with a band, making an album, and it's finally going to come out, released through a new label called 9x9 Records on the 6th of December. And I will be launching that record the night before. Think of it like New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. The album launch in Liverpool is going to be the 5th of December, so that, you know, the next day will be like, that'll be like New Year's Day.
Fantastic.
And that'll be the release day.
Fantastic. So the album itself, how long has it taken you to get this recorded and done?
Well, it's a weird one, really, because the first sessions were in like September 2017, which seems ages ago, and that's before it even become a crowdfunding project. And I kind of got in, done one or two days, and it hadn't quite, for whatever reason, like, quite gelled. And I kind of went away, Magnificent Seven style, went and recruited this band, started up the process of, like, crowdfunding, like, around last year, and we started to go into the studio sort of with those people and that particular team in July last year. So it's only taken 8 sessions in the studio to do the album. Wow. It's just that it happened over, like, there was 12 months over it, where just getting people together, and as the money came in, slowly, like, then being able to go in the studio and do it. It's sort of finally coming to fruition now, which is kind of exciting. Okay. Although it's never over, is it? Like, really? So it's like an ongoing process.
So the guys that you've used on your album, Tom, is this people that you played with before? Is it pals you brought together to just for this one?
Yeah, a lot of them were people that I knew from the Liverpool music scene. The bass player and the producer is my friend James Fawn, who I lived with for 2 years in that line between Toxteth and Town. And we'd spoken for ages about, like, you know, doing some recording together. And then and a guy called Danny Bradley plays guitar on it. I don't know if you know Danny, but he's a great guitarist and singer as well. I'd worked with a guy called Max O'Hara about 2 years ago on this project at Threshold Festival, where he was the musical director in charge of putting these bands together. And I thought, I really enjoyed working with him. The drummer's a guy called Gareth Dawson, who's currently in South America, so he unfortunately can't play the launch. And also on the album, we've got, you know, I don't know if you've heard of a little duo called Limerence.
Oh, the fab.
Supplied some backing vocals on quite a few tracks. There's an amazing clarinet and saxophone player called Nick Branton, who's on some other songs. A mandolin guy called Simon Brady. A friend of mine called El Shilariff, who I've been singing with, you know, for many years. It's been mixed. It's been engineered and mixed from a studio called Elevator Recording Studios Cheapside.
Yeah.
Everyone always, in fact, actually a few people ended up actually on recording days going to the other elevator that's on Jamaica Street and going, I'm there, and you're going, you're in the wrong place. And for me, the record feels very, even though they're my songs, It's felt like this really group effort for me.
Yeah.
In terms of, it hasn't felt like I've been sort of sat in a studio, sort of looking very serious, like scratching my chin. It's been a lot of fun to do.
Good.
And I think partly just because those were really the right people to do that with.
Okay.
And luckily on the night that we're launching the record at Studio 2, Pastry, the fantastic drummer from the Johns has stepped in.
All right.
So, which is very nice of him.
Cool.
Very nice man called Sam Verkett.
Cool.
So there's some great sort of people that have come together to work on it.
That's
and
fun.
I'm releasing the album through a label that's just been set up called 9x9 Records.
Okay.
I've got to leave a little bit of mystery around them.
Yeah.
But I sort of, if you know your local venues, it's not too difficult to work out who they are.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Right. Well, what we'll do is we'll have a chat about all things music, because I know you do lots and lots of stuff.
Yeah.
So we'll have a little chat about that. But if you fancy playing a song for us, because we want to try and get a few out of you tonight.
Yeah, that sounds great to me.
So what we'll do is we'll go with the first one, and then the next song that Tom will do will be on Facebook Live. So anybody who's listening tonight, the second song that Tom's going to do tonight will be live on Facebook, so I'll give you the chance to sort yourselves out and set up. Okay, right, so what are you going to play for us, Tom?
Do you know what I'm going to play? I'm going to play a song on the album that I don't play that often, but I'm going to play it because I really like it. It's like the token jazz song on the album.
Okay.
And this song's called Waiting Till Now.
Okay.
Depends on the favour that you want to ask. I can help you, darling, yeah. So tired of my labour, he raises his glass to come and see you. Ooh, oh. So go over, yeah. Take over, yeah. Kneel down, shake it around, and just forget that I've been waiting. Forget that I've been waiting till now, yeah. Till now, I'm becoming an outlaw who sleeps in the sand, so don't disturb me, baby. I'm weak and uneasy, tired and unplanned, just what you're doing to me now. Inexcusable, so go over. Take over. Kneel down, shake it around, and just forget that I've been waiting. Forget that I've been waiting till now. Till now. So go over, take over, kneel down, shake it around, and just forget that I've been waiting. Forget that I've been waiting till now. Till now, yeah. Till now, oh yeah. Till now.
Absolutely beautiful. Tom Moorcroft, thank you so much. That was cool. And that's from the new album?
Yeah, it's track 9 on the CD.
Track 9.
But it's track 8 on the vinyl.
Okay. Yeah. You're going for the vinyl as well?
Yeah, it's not arrived yet. All I have with me is I've brought this CD that I stole off the record company so I could give it to my mum.
Oh.
But we haven't got the vinyl just yet. Oh. They'll arrive quite soon. So.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, and it's great. The recording of that was really fun. It's like there's a lot of piano going on here. We've got like the little bit I sang in the middle that sounded like scatting is like a clarinet solo in recording. So it's great. And there's a double bass and like sort of nice brushy drums on it.
That sounds great.
Thanks.
And it's sounding good. The listeners, I've had a couple of messages as well. Where are we? Ask him, is this his natural singing voice, or does he model it on anyone very, very Paul Heaton?
Oh, is it?
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought of it. I've only got this voice. It'd be a lot of effort for it not to be my voice. But yeah, I think that's a compliment.
It is indeed. It is indeed.
So, yeah.
Sounding really good. So I've got a couple of people who are listening back at over in Liverpool who are liking the session so far. So thank you so much.
Lovely.
At Grace Aaron. I've got to give a shout out as well to your other half, Rachel.
Yeah, Rachel.
Who's listening?
Well, she said she's listening. I didn't say to her, you better listen or anything. She just said, like, I'll be listening. So, hi, Rachel. How you doing?
Hello,
How's
Rachel.
How's it going?
Yeah, I hope you're listening, Rachel, a bit. It's a really funny story because just before I came on, Ray Lyons was on before me and he was giggling away and I said, you know, what's up? He said, I just played a special request for someone. They'd asked me to play. He said, I might have messaged him to tell him it was on. He said, oh, we're listening to Magic. I thought, well, how rude. Anyway, so I'm sure everybody who said that they're listening tonight will be listening along, and I know anybody who has missed this will be able to catch up on the podcast, which will be released on Saturday this week as well. So anybody who doesn't catch this now will catch it on catch up later, because I know there are quite a good few friends of mine who can't make Thursday night for other reasons, but they always catch up and listen to the podcast and always share it and let everybody know just what's going on. Right, okay, so the first time I saw you was down at the Jacaranda Club time ago. You were comparing a music night there. It was an open mic night.
I've been hosting that open mic for 5 years. So,
yeah.
When we started, I was hosting Thursday and Sunday nights in there in the basement.
Yeah.
It's not in the basement anymore.
I graduated from
the basement. Now that's every Sunday from 5:15 in the afternoom.
Okay.
After going from being this like sort of late night, like orgy.
It was a night.
Not actual orgy, but it was like a bit of a mad one.
Yeah.
And now I've.
So it's a mellow.
I've stretched
mellow Sunday
it back earlier in the day to being 5:15, and it's still got like that. It's still got the open mic vibe of it, but it's almost feels like a nice kind of folk or acoustic session on a Sunday afternoon. So I would ask any musicians who would like to come down and play, please get in touch. That would be amazing.
Fantastic.
The PA system there is really nice.
Is it good?
At the moment, like it's enormously heavy. It's this Yamaha mixer, but it sounds great. People are like, why do you keep carrying that at the basement? I said, well, it sounds really nice. So if you want to go to an open mic where the PA's nice and you can go home on the Sunday night, you can stay for the whole thing and you'll be done by 8:15.
I'm sure my brother's listening to this and he'll be giving you a message now asking if he can come down and play.
Oh, excellent. I'd like that.
Cool.
So
cool.
Please do.
So Mike, that's Mike. He's actually playing with the James Street Band at
Big
Rooms tomorrow. Yeah,
cool.
He's going to be up with John Jenkins. So that's going to be a great night tomorrow. I'm sure Mike will be in touch and try and come along and do something.
I would like that.
I remember you did the thing at Leaf for the Beatles.
Oh yeah,
album. That was a good night.
Yeah. We've done
Ragamuffins, Mr. Jags.
Oh yeah. So we did. So in 2016. Roxanne the Bastion, a very good friend of mine, and Graham Holland, one of the city's fine promoters.
Indeed,
started this kind of 50 years of Beatles thing with 50 years of Revolver. So the first year I kind of like turned up and did my bit, and then the next year I kind of managed to hijack somehow, I don't know quite what happened, but I ended up being involved in the organisation of it. Mm-hmm. So since that year, I've sort of been involved in organising it, and the Ragamuffins have ended up playing at it, and it's been a lot of fun. You know, it's a big, mad gig with like 12 acts on.
Yeah.
And we've done, so that's Revolver, Sgt. Pepper, the White Album last year.
The White Album, I remember,
I think out of the four concerts, that might have been my favourite.
Yeah.
And then we did Abbey Road this year, which was great as well. And then Let It Be is next May.
Is the next one. Oh, that'll be good.
So which falls on the Bank Holiday Friday in May.
Ah, right.
So they've moved a Bank Holiday in May next year to a Friday.
That's right, yeah. I remember
seeing
that. So
it's not Good Friday, it's just Friday people
just a Bank Holiday, yeah.
So that'll be interesting. And that's something
that'll be good.
Yeah, again, like, you know, me and, to a large degree now, myself and Roxanne kind of curate that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's we're always looking for people. If you are passionate about the Beatles and you want to play in front of a sold-out room and help us raise some money for charity, that would be great if you wanted to get in touch.
Yeah.
That would be wonderful. I enjoy doing it. I enjoy comparing.
Yeah.
Gives me a chance to talk loads.
Yeah.
So, which is good. I could talk.
You did a good job filling in because the changeover, some of the changeovers were taking a bit.
Which years have you
the
seen?
The only one I've missed is this one this year.
Oh, right, yeah. I mean, Sgt. Pepper was really nuts because we had like other bands.
He was great.
So that was the year that I thought I could kind of fill air with this. You know, that was funny, that one.
It was good.
We had loads to set up, so I did end up talking quite
a lot. It was great. There was a good uke band on that night.
Oh, Ukebox.
Yes, Ukebox, that was them. They were really good. They were on the Sgt. Pepper one.
Yeah, we haven't been able to get them last year or this year, which is a bit of a shame.
Yeah, they were fab, them.
Because we really wanted... Yeah, there were things we really... I'll put it this way, there were things we wanted them to play this year and last year.
Would have been good. But the Revolver one was really cool.
The Revolver was great. I really enjoyed that one, like, a lot. There were things that happened that day, but I really enjoyed that one, probably because I wasn't involved in the organisation of it.
Yeah, it was
but
good
I think
out.
You, when you're, it's nice to sort of be involved, that involved with kind of the curating of it and the hosting of it. I really enjoyed it, but. Yeah, the Revolver one was really fun because all I did was kind of turn up and sing my song and then get up after a few ales and play one of mine, you know.
It was good.
Like later on. So that was, yeah, they've all been great lineups, I think. They've all been kind of different.
Yeah.
So that's been ace.
That's good. All good fun. Okay, so I'm going to get back to your album now.
Hello.
And see if you fancy playing another song for us that weekend.
I would like to play another song for you.
Wonderful. And this one we will go live with on Facebook. So if anybody who's listening who... it was good, Facebook. I'm sure nearly everybody in the world has got it now. Have a little look because we're going to go live.
Right, I'm going to play one of the last songs on the album. This is a song I play live all the time. This is called O Rocco.
Okay.
Diamond chaser, whoa, you be taker out of the rain till she gets dry. You picked your fortune, but it's no use to someone like me lying down on the roof. I call out again, oh Rocco. Oh Rocco, oh Rocco, oh Rocco. Do you believe it? Oh, call out again. Oh Rocco, oh Rocco, oh Rocco, oh Rocco. Do you believe it? Soft toddy,
streets are started when everybody else can see the end in sight. As Jimmy Hickson, sings in the kitchen, you ask him how he's been and how he holds tight. I'll call out again, oh Rocco, oh Rocco. That again, oh Rocco, oh Rocco, oh Rocco, oh Rocco. Do you believe it? Oh, oh, oh. Understand it, you're never thing like anyone else I know. You have virtue, oh, you, many do, the ability to just stand back and let go. Call that again, oh Rocco. Again, oh Rocco, oh Rocco, oh Rocco, oh Rocco. Do you believe it? Oh, 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 oh.
Okay, that was brilliant. That was Tom Moorcroft live on Vintage Radio, on the Radio Show, and also live on Facebook. So if you have been watching on Facebook, thank you so much for doing so. You can also listen to the rest of the session by asking your smart speaker to play Vintage Radio, or you can just go to www.vintageradio.org.uk and you will find us there. We are also on TuneIn. Thank you for the comments on that as well. A few people watching. Sandy Cameron, thank you so much. My brother Mike is watching and listening, said fabulous guitar work and vocals.
Thank you.
So thank you indeed, and that was a great song. So that's off the album as well, Tom, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, right. So songwriting-wise, I ask everybody this because I'm intrigued by how everybody goes about it. Okay. Everyone's got their own different ways. What's first for you? Is it the melody? Is it the lyrics? Have you got an idea?
I think
bouncing around?
Most of the time for me, I try and just do both at the same time.
Okay.
And so it's very rare I would sit there. It's very rarely that I would sit there and kind of sing out just a melody, mm-hmm. like Lardy sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I would say probably, I would, throwing caution to the wind on that, I'd say when I write songs, I'm not completely determined in that moment for those to be the finished lyrics.
Yeah.
So while I do write words and music at the same time, it's very possible that those lyrics are not set in stone and they'll evolve over time.
Yeah.
Now, sometimes when I've written with other people, that you can't really do that with a co-write.
No.
If you're trying to write the lyrics together, you've sort of got to do it on the day, because otherwise one of you is going to go off and finish them.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that isn't as fun. So, no. But I mean, there are songs where I've kind of, you know, written the lyrics first, but I think every song on this album, it's all kind of come at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, so
yeah.
I'd rather think, well, if I'm going to sing something, if I'm going to come up with this melody now, I'm going to come up with some words while I do it.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's that.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah,
but, yeah.
And then you can always come back to stuff as well.
Yeah, I can always. I mean, looking at all these, I think I've gone away and added verses. Sometimes you add little sections. Mm. Sometimes there are little sections you have that you play when there's a full band that they don't really make sense to do. It doesn't make sense when you're playing it solo. So I play these songs very differently solo,
mm-hmm.
like probably than I do with a band. Not very differently, but there'll be little sections that I've added in.
A few little bits and bobs, yeah.
just because, you know, like, if you've, I don't know, if you've got a clarinet solo and you just play that, that's just, for anyone that sees that live, that is just you playing, like, those chords. Yeah. Which, I don't know, can be nice, depends what you like, I suppose.
Yeah.
So you
mentioned co-writing there. Is there anybody that you would like to co-write with? Anyone in mind you would like
I'd really... It's really weird, because if you'd asked me this question like 5 years ago, I'd have said like Paul McCartney.
Mm-hmm.
But in the last couple of years, this really weird thing's happened, which is that I've sort of realised that Elvis Costello's a genius. Because you know this thing where social media tells you what you said like 5 years ago?
Mm.
I saw one of those and it was like, oh, I don't, you know, it was something, I'd written something like, am I the only person in the world that doesn't like Elvis Costello? And it was
really?
Like... It was like finding out that you used to be a Nazi or something.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it was like, oh, God, I can't believe I was ever that stupid. So that would be really... I think writing with Elvis Costello would be really fun.
Yeah.
Just because he's written so many different types of music.
Mm-hmm.
And I get the impression he would just sit down and do anything.
Yeah.
You know, to a not as in quality... I mean...
I know what you mean.
High quality-wise, but I think he's written kind of easy listening music and rock music. And, and another really interesting person to write a song with... Partly just so I can meet him is Andy Partridge from XTC.
Oh, yeah.
That would be really interesting.
Yeah.
But I think I'd probably... I think he probably could just get on with the writing and I'd just sit there going,
in awe,
Well, partly awe and just like, this guy's so interesting.
Yeah.
To put it lightly. But there are a lot of people I'd like to write with. I'd, you know, there's people that I know that I have plans to write with in the new year.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, is would be exciting. Me and Rob Vincent have talked about doing some writing together. Should be really nice. There's a few other people as well that would be really fun. I think David Jaggs from the Ragamuffins would be a great person to write with.
He's fab.
Like, people I know. But and then probably anybody, if I could write with some dead people.
Yeah.
So like, John Lennon.
Yeah.
You want to write with John Lennon. I think, going back to a live, Joni Mitchell would be really fun.
Nice.
But she might want it to be dead jazzy or something, I don't know. But Joni Mitchell in the early, when she was still quite folky and a little bit singer-songwritery, mm-hmm. really fun. Dead people. Chuck Berry, I think that would be great.
Because
he'd just be like, oh, I've got this idea, and he'd be like, yeah, we'll do this, you know. That would be amazing, and... Chrissy Hynde, I reckon, would be really fun. Who would you write with if you could write with anybody?
Me? That's a great question. My musical influences are far and wide. I mean,
I'm
a big Stranglers fan, and that would be great for me to sit down with them and
that would be fun. As a band, good. Really, that would be great, wouldn't it?
Oh yeah, yeah. So influences wise, I mean, we mentioned a lot of people there. I mean, growing up. What did you listen to yourself? I mean, you're an adopted Scouser now because you're up here, but... What's your influences? What made you pick up your guitar and think you're going to do this?
I think the first person I was mad on, as in... Kids generally love songs, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Especially, like, up until the age of 5 or 6, kids don't necessarily... Like, they're not aware of artists or like bands, but they know songs.
Songs and music, yeah.
But I think the first person where I was like, I like songs by that person, it might be a bit of a strange one, was Lonnie Donegan.
All right.
So, when me and my brother were quite small, our dad, who we didn't know was our dad at the time, but a friend of the family, mm-hmm. made us these mixtapes. And on these songs, there's like a few Lonnie Donegan tunes. You know, I didn't know it was when I was 3. By the way, I've got a bit of a speech impediment, so I can't differentiate between F and TH. So if I say free and you think, what does he mean free? I've tried to say the number 3.
I just thought you picked it up with being a Scouser now, you know?
No, I think Scousers are pretty damn good at their THs, and I have to tell you that. That was like, I think that was the first thing, and I was like really obsessively listening to him.
Right.
And then kind of like, I didn't know necessarily at first who the artists were, but like Motown music was really...
Mm.
I was like, all this stuff sounds really good.
Yeah.
Like those early Motown singles. And they all kind of sounded very similar because it was the same musicians playing a lot of the tracks, even though there's different people singing on them. And then I think you know, and then up a gear from that, at age 8, I found a 45 single of Can't Buy Me Love. And I thought, that's amazing. And then I found A Hard Day's Night, which was like even more amazing. And then I just was obsessed with the Beatles for the next.
I think it
was
probably like a lot
of probably for the rest of my life, actually. But really obsessed with the Beatles. Like obsessed like that girl in... I don't know if you've ever seen this footage, and it's the second time the Beatles played Shea Stadium. And the American press are trying to make it look like, oh, what a failure. There's not 60,000 people here this time. There's only 40,000. And they're interviewing these kids, and they're all asking these kids, oh, don't you think this Beatles thing's way out? And this one girl with this kind of like, I don't know if it's like a Boston accent or like a Northeast state. It's like, yeah, we forget our kids when we hear Beatles records. I'd say I was as big a fan as her.
Yeah.
Like, if, you know, maybe not that much. I don't know if anyone's has been a biggest fan of her as the Beatles. And then everything after that kind of really blocked. I really loved music anyway as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the first time I could picture myself playing the guitar, because I had piano lessons as a kid,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think I was like a gifted student. I found this is quite a common thing that people have like music lessons, and then they like discover pop music or rock and roll, and that's kind of actually what makes them a musician rather than having you know, like some music lessons where they probably didn't show that much promise. So for me, that was like a big. Yeah, that was a really big thing, because what was weird was I would picture myself playing as the Beatles in front of my primary school assembly, because of course that would be you know, I hadn't really thought the logistics of that through, and I would be all of the Beatles, like in my head, which is probably like probably a good indicator that I shouldn't have tried to be in any bands throughout school, but they are still the band, really, and music kind of continues to inspire me all the time. And there's always, I've got a friend of mine who lives down south, and I recently really got into XTC,
mm-hmm.
and all I did was Making Plans for Nigel, which I think is an amazing song, but is not, they are this just incredible band. And he kind of put it like, I feel like at Christmas, where there's like a present under the tree that you didn't see, and like that for me has been like this massive thing, is getting into them, because it's just sound that you didn't know was there, and you do have those moments where you think, oh, I've heard everything,
yeah,
so you think, oh, I'll just go back and listen to Rumours by Fleetwood Mac or whatever it is. And they've been, I have to say, really, I'd written all of this album before I got into it. That's kind of a weird thing. So, and I've got more into Elvis Costello since sort of during really making the record,
mm-hmm.
so maybe like the next record will be more like that. Did you want to do you want to interject at some point? I feel like I've gone off on like
sounded great, mate. It's very interesting. It's funny with XTC, because they're one of the bands that never quite fitted into a pigeonhole anywhere. They were around about the punk time, but they weren't a punk band. And they do some great power pop stuff. So they're a bit of a funny one, XTC.
I think the reason they don't fit into anything is because they're too good.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think so much music that came out of that, not so much punk, I would sort of see bands that were a bit, just a reaction to the kind of hippie thing. Because the hippie thing, that, I, by the way, I love like the bands that were like the entail of that era, by the way. I think they had some
Flower
of them
power
magnificent
stuff, yeah.
I love really mainstream kind of mid 70s rock. I think there's a lot of great things that came out of the mid to late 70s, the pub rock scene. And I'm more of a, it's weird really, I'm more, if I was, I would be more of a pub rocker than a punk rocker,
right?
So I like, you know, I like Nick Lowe, Elvis Costello, and I kind of think XTC were more of a pub rock band than a punk rock band.
Yeah.
By the way, pub rock isn't, I don't mean as in to say these bands should have been playing it, I just mean that was the name that was kind of given to these groups. And I think XTC were a little bit, I think what kind of ended up happening was punk became a bit uniform, and I don't think XTC were ever going to be
fit. No.
Punk. But you can sort of see, like, it's funny really, XTC do something and then the next year The Police did something really similar, and they were, No, I just think they would. I just think the songwriting was too good for them to fit in.
Clever.
Oh, and is it with the bass player? Was Colin? Is it Colin Brown?
Sure.
Who the guy that he wrote like he wrote stuff like King for a Day. Mm. I just think the songwriting is like, for me, the song All of a Sudden is like, it's just perfect.
They were a cool band.
I could talk about XT. I haven't even listened to all the albums yet. You know, but I could talk about them all. And I think what it is for me, there's that like, and I do really think that with this record is I've made a singer songwriter record. But I was chatting to Rachel Jean Harris because she was one of the, you know, Rachel Jean Harris.
Yeah.
Incredible, like, kind of, like, jazz storytelling, kind of sound poem making singer-songwriter that she is. She kind of went, oh, it's really, you know, you haven't, she was, it's, this is really interesting, this record. And I'm not trying to sort of use her to toot my own horn. But in that, it is a singer-songwriter album. So I'm playing an acoustic guitar. And obviously, you hear me live with an acoustic guitar. But it's, you've used other sort of textures and feels with it, and it's got other stuff happening. She's like, some of the influences are almost like 80s influence, you know, that I wouldn't have expected. And I think I didn't want to make an album that didn't have that acoustic earthiness, because I love earthy, warm sounding records, but I did want it to have this touch of kind of mad, like, fire going on a little bit with it. And I think because of that, the record ends up being very varied, which is, you know, it's either a good thing or a bad thing, depending on what, whether you like kind of varied records or you like records that kind of, you know, run sort of like a river to a certain swell. And yeah, I've no idea. What was the question?
Well, I'm looking forward so much to listen to the album, because you sent it through to me. So thank you so much for doing that.
No problem.
And I'm going to play a track from the album at the end of tonight's session, which we're nearly at the end of. We haven't got a lot of time left, but
I've talked so much.
But we're going to get another song out of you before we do that.
Yeah.
But before we do that, Tom, can you tell people how they can get hold of the album, and obviously a little bit about your album launch as well? Because they'd be able to get it on the night.
You'll definitely be able to get it on the night. If you are, I mean, as well, I would say, if you're one of those crowdfunders who pre-ordered the album, you can collect yours on the night if you're coming down to the gig. I understand not everyone get that. You're going to get your, if that's the case, you can, it'll be delivered to you, or we can, you know, arrange pickup. Everybody that, you know, wants to can, the day of the album's release, the 6th of December, you can stream the album from Spotify.
Okay.
I can't recommend enough, by the way, if you're an independent artist releasing an album, there's a cracking digital distributor based in Glasgow called Emu Bands.
Okay.
They are absolutely fantastic. Use them. It's my little... Okay. So it'll be coming out, and it'll be on iTunes, all, you know, all the online...
All the usual platforms, yeah.
All that stuff. And on Bandcamp as well. You can buy a vinyl record, either the... We've got a limited run of 100 deluxe vinyls that come with the CD. If you crowdfunded... If you bought a crowdfunded vinyl, you'll get a deluxe vinyl.
Okay.
You can buy a CD off me or from 81 Renshaw. I'll tell you the address for that place in a minute. It's on 81 Renshaw Street. And also, we'll be selling it from 9x9 Records website. So you can, you know, order a vinyl or a CD copy of the record. Or, you know, I recommend you come down to Studio 2 on the 5th of December, the night before the official release. Okay. Where I'll be playing at Studio 2, I'll be selling copies of the album.
Wonderful.
So please come.
Okay. And so can people get tickets in advance for that, or pay on the door, or a bit of both?
Yeah, they can.
They can do both.
You can buy tickets in advance from Skiddle.
Okay.
They are £5
in
advance. We've just sold out of the early bird tickets, which are £4.
Okay.
Or you can pay on the door, which is £7.
Okay.
And just a little... plug for them as well. Support on the evening comes from the incredible Me and a Bow.
Wow.
And the peerless Charlie McKeown, who I'm sure is somebody you're familiar with as well.
Well, that'll be a great night indeed.
Yeah, so I think so.
Okay, and also social media stuff. You're on Facebook, so people want to have
a Facebook,
look.
Twitter, Instagram. Go on the website, tommoorcroft.com, and you can kind of, you know, maybe you're somewhere else, you can find out. We've got a gig on the Wirral next year as well.
Okay.
I think in February. In fact, I think it's February 23rd.
Okay.
And that's at the Big Room in Heswall.
Yeah.
And that'll be a great little night.
It's
I can't remember
night.
Who's headlining.
Okay.
You know, for the life of me. But that'll be like next year.
Okay.
And you can follow in my website. You can find out more there as well.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, Tom, so if you could do another song for us to finish off, and that would be fab.
All right, let me think. I've got the track listing here, just in case I do... So I'm going to play for you, mate. I'm going to play... Oh, no, you know what? I'm going to play this song, actually. Again, don't play enough solo. This is a... It's quite a lively one. This is called Pictures in the Sun.
Okay.
Love for you is bent in torn light, pictures in the sun. And I get up every morning so I can take another one. Some days my head goes warm, I can see things clear as crystal like any other day. When the ice is all melted and the fire get myself a little right away. Sometimes my eyes blink to the rhythm of my beating heart. So let's go ahead, take the leap, let's make a brand new start. Some days my head goes warm, I can see things clear as crystal like any other day. And the fire lady sings, I get myself a little right away, yeah. Some days my head goes warm, I can see things clear as crystal like any and the fire lady sings, I'll get myself a little hideaway. Yeah, my love for you is mentioned tonight, pictures in the sun. And I get up every morning so I can take another one. So I can take another one. So I can take another one.
Absolutely fantastic. That was Tom Moorcroft live on Vintage Radio. And Tom, all left for me to say is thank you so much for joining me in the studio tonight.
Thank you very much.
It's been an absolute pleasure to have you here. Good luck with the album.
Thanks, Mum.
Good luck with the album launch. And hopefully you'll come back again next year.
Love to.
And let us know how it's gone.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Cheers, Tom.
Nice one.
message just to let you know you're listening to Vintage Radio.
Any opinions expressed here on the Radio Show are solely mine and not necessarily those of Vintage Radio.
This is Vintage Radio.